singing. I have no musical ability, but I certainly appreciate those that do, and I thank you for it. Thank you for coming back tonight. I will say to start with, I'm not your enemy. Some folks believe I am, but I'm really not. I'm on your side. But tonight, I was thinking and praying about what I should preach on, and I got thinking, you know, the Word of God is likened to milk, meat, and strong meat. And you get saved, you're on milk. And in fact, Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And as you study, rightly divide the Word of truth, you begin to move up to different levels, hopefully to the strong meat and beyond. But what I'm going to preach tonight is milk. And you can always stand milk. It don't matter if you're on the strong meat, you can always handle some milk. In fact, you probably ought to drink more of it. But anyhow, you got your Bible handy? Surely you do. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And I'm certain that that's familiar. Before I even read any of it, you already know what it's about. And I certainly hope you'll pray for me tonight. I've been having a hard time with my vision, and I've been trying to get something done about it, and so far I ain't had no luck. But I'm having a hard time reading, and so if I misread something, it's most certainly not on purpose. I believe the King James Bible is inerrant and infallible, and I would not do anything to change it or rearrange it. But here in this chapter, what you have, you have one group of Jews, the religious crowd, the scribes and the Pharisees. They're murmuring and complaining against another group of Jews, the publicans and the sinners. And a sinner in the Old Testament sense is somebody who's wicked and ungodly. I mean, a real character. They had no respect for the law and weren't interested in keeping it. And so that's how this chapter begins. The religious crowd, who had no concern about the lost crowd, they were murmuring and complaining. And so the Lord Jesus Christ tells a parable. Now, if you'll notice, he says parable, singular, and yet he tells three different stories. But they all involve something that's lost. A sheep, a coin, and then a son. And this whole chapter, I mean, there's so much you could preach on out of this chapter. I mean, I've preached, I don't know, I'd say at least a dozen messages from this chapter. But I'm preaching tonight on this subject, what the lost son did not lose. He lost a lot, but I want to preach on what he didn't lose. And so I hope tonight it'll encourage you. I hope it'll help you. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, certainly this message is for you. If you're here and you're saved and you're walking contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ, this message is certainly for you. And so, I guess there's something for all of us. We're all somewhere in there, in that spectrum. But he began by saying, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And if you go back to Matthew 7, you'll discover that he didn't speak as one of the scribes, but he spake with authority. And they recognized that. And you know, when you preach the Word of God with absolutes, you'll stir up the liberal, ungodly crowd. The bunch that are walking backwards, who have all the different versions and all the answers, when you begin to preach in absolutes and you say this is inerrant, infallible, the Word and words of God, you'll get a rise out of that bunch. And so, when Jesus began to speak, obviously he spoke as God, as the Creator. He spoke with authority. And they didn't like that. The religious crowd always got upset. But notice, the publicans and the sinners would always hear him gladly. And that's been my experience over the years in witnessing and preaching. A fellow that's just wicked as hell, generally, you can deal with him. It's usually the crowd that thinks they're all right and they're not as bad as somebody, you know. And that's the bunch you usually have a contest with. And so, These ungodly people wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Well, amen. I'm sure glad he does. I'm a sinner. I was in desperate need of a Savior, and I run head on into him. I called the VA a couple of weeks ago to make me an appointment, or probably been a month ago now. And the lady, they ask you all these goofy questions, do you have any suicidal thoughts and all this stuff. And this lady said, "Well, how are you doing today?" And I said, "Well, if it gets any better, I won't be able to stand it." And she said, "Wow, that's fantastic." And she said, "Do you use tobacco?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Alcohol?" I said, "No, I quit 50 years ago." She said, "What?" I said, "Yeah." I said, 50 years ago, I run head on into Jesus Christ, and I trusted him to save me, and I quit all that foolishness. And there was silence for a minute, and she said, "That's awesome." But it is awesome. The Lord Jesus Christ, the best thing ever happened to me. And he'd be the best thing ever happened to you if you don't know him. But I want to skip on down. I want to skip over the lost sheep and the coin and get to the lost son. And I want to look at some of the things that he lost. Now, in a message, you're not going to say everything you want to say or needs to be said. I'm sure you'll come up with some more things, but hopefully this will be something that'll help you. So I want to say, first of all, what the lost son didn't lose, he did not lose the direction home. Now you think about it. If you're saved tonight, and you may go off the trail, it happens. I hope it don't, but if it does, don't lose the direction home. I'm telling you, there's only one way to be right. That's walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And I'll tell you, when I was wicked as hell, living like the devil, mean as the devil, in and out of trouble, jails and all that, before I was saved, when the Holy Ghost of God began to convict me, he got on my trail, began to chase me. I mean, convict me. I couldn't turn anywhere what the Lord wasn't tearing me up. I knew the way home. Now, I didn't know anything about the Bible, honestly. Here's what I knew. My mama was saved. She attended a Baptist church. But I'll tell you, parents, this is for you. Don't ever think your family altar is in vain. My mama, my dad got killed when I was 9 years old. My mama called us kids together every night. And she'd open that old big family Bible, old big King James Bible. And she'd sit there and read that thing with tears running down her face. Oh, I'll tell you, when the Lord started dealing with me, I looked back to that day and I thought, oh, I'll tell you, I don't know much, but there was something about that book and something about what she had that I need. I knew how to get home. I went down to that little Baptist church. I got down here to the altar. I cried out to God for mercy. I called on the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God, he saved my soul. Woo, I ain't never got over it. Hope I never do. Oh, it's just as real today as it was 50 years ago. You pardon me. I might just have to take a running fit. If I do, though, you'll have to carry me. My poor worn-out knees won't hold me up. But the lost son, he never lost the direction home. I never lost the direction home when God was dealing with my wicked soul. I knew where to find the help I needed. It wasn't in the city water system. I'd already had that treatment. I tried this stuff once. It didn't work either. The priest could drink more vino than I could. And I thought, well, if that guy, he ain't got nothing I need. But I found peace in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, it works. I listen to some guy on the radio. He says, "Amen, amen." Nobody will ever amen him. Amen. I amen him. He can't hear me, but I do. If you don't amen me, I'll amen myself. Amen. That's good preaching if I say so. But he didn't lose the direction home. If you're saved, You're to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Our direction is that way. Brother, one of these days the trumpet's going to sound. If I hear it, I believe it's going to sound more than once. Because the scripture says it's at the last trump that we get out of here. And trump is the sound the trumpet makes. So I believe all us saved people are going to hear it. And I don't think anybody else will. And I think you'll be on the job and you'll hear a trumpet sound and you'll start looking around, but what in the world's going on? And I tell you, when that happens, I'm cutting my shoelaces. And I'm going to climb up on a ladder or something. I'm going to try to get a head start. But I'm going to fly. This ain't no fairy tale, brother. I know the direction home. It's northward. Amen. Jesus Christ is still alive and well, and He's still saving sinners. If you're here tonight and you don't know Him, boy, you can. It'd be a tragedy to leave here lost. And that's a fact. But this young man, he never lost the direction home. The Bible says a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with righteous living. Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of that going on in America today. A lot of that righteous living. I mean, that you get right down to it, man, that's just no holds barred. I mean, he had the money, he had the ability, and he was going to live it up. And so he went off to the Big Apple or somewhere. He went to some place where he could live it up, where the neon lights burn 24 hours a day. He went where they're partying, you know, on one side they're line dancing, on the other side they're fist fighting. He went where it was just partying day and night. And man, he had friends until the money ran out. And I'll tell you, you'll find out who your real friends are out here in this world. Boy, I'll tell you, I found out the hard way. A lot of folks will latch on to you as long as you can do something for them. And when you no longer can, you're no longer viable to them. But this young man, he never forgot the way home. He wound up in a mess. Boy, I look back when I got up and, oh, probably around 14 or 15 years old, I suddenly became smarter than I ever have been in my entire life. I had all the answers and didn't even know the questions. But I couldn't wait to get away from home. I thought, boy, my dad got killed. My mom, she was strict. She knew what we kids were going to get into, and she tried to keep us from it. And I came to a point where I even at one point told my mom, "I hate you. I hate you." She wouldn't allow me to do the things I wanted to do. And I couldn't wait to get out of high school and get away from home. And I graduated in 1970. I'm an old geezer. Right in the middle of that Vietnam mess, and me and a buddy of mine, we went down to the draft board and volunteered. And I thought, man, I'm getting out of this place. I'm tired of people telling me what to do. Now, I saw the far country, but I will say this. The military was good for me. I grew up because I was forced to do things against my will because I hated authority. But they didn't make you do it and make you like it. If they said dig a hole, you just dig a hole. You don't ask why. If you do, look out. And so I grew up. And I learned some discipline and responsibility. Now, I learned a lot of bad things, but thanks be unto God, when I got saved, I got away from all that nonsense. I found out that Jesus Christ is still in the life-changing business. One of my favorite verses to this day says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And brother, it works. I tried it. This Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you don't believe Him, try Him out. He offers you that invitation. But this young man, he never forgot the way home. He never lost it. The way down marked the way he was going back. If you've gone back on God, good news, you can get back. You can get right. You're going to see as this progresses, the Father's the hero. And the whole time, the Father is waiting on that son. He knows what he's going to see in the far country. He knows what's going to happen. And he's waiting on him to come back. And he's preparing for that day. Boy, isn't that something? Well, I'll tell you, I think about it. I can't help but think about New Jerusalem. I mean, Paul said, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. I believe that. I believe one of these days I'm going to walk on a street of gold. Man, the Bible don't say streets. It says street in the singular. Everybody going to live on Main Street. Man, we're going to have us a time. You talk about something. If we ain't getting a new body, we'd just blow up. You couldn't stand it. But I read about a man by the name of Jonah. And he got a message from God. Go down here to Nineveh and preach. And man, he ran like a turkey. He said, I'm getting out of here. He ran from the presence of the Lord. But how are you going to do that? The psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. All this wicked bunch that thinks they'll get away from God, they get to hell. They're not going to get away from him. All they're going to ever know is the unsheathed, mitigated wrath of God. Judgment. He said, if I ascend up into heaven, behold, thou art there. Where are you going to go to get away from him? And the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and the good. Young folks, you never done anything God doesn't know about. You never planned to do anything God doesn't know about. And this young man, he thought, you know, I can go live it up and it'll be fine. Well, like a lot of young folks, and we got some fine young folks in this church right here that have been raised right. They've been taught right. They've sat around the family altar and they've taken it to heart. Hey, it works. I guarantee you it works. I've got children and grandchildren and I love them all. I mean, if they don't do right, I'm sorry. I done my best to train them. They're still mine. I still love them. I won't ever agree with their wickedness if they're doing something wrong, but I still love them. I still want them to do right. But this young man never lost the direction home. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. I think so. I think the Word of God is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. I think this Bible will never lead you the wrong way. I think it works. I've tried it for 50 years and it works. I can guarantee you it'll work. Do you love the Word of God? I mean, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's worth having. It's worth living. It's worth believing. You think about it, man. How much time do you spend with television? Computers. Man, everywhere I go, everybody got a cell phone. Constantly. Got tendonitis in their thumbs. You know. Everybody. I mean, everywhere you go. I don't. People in the mall walking into pillars. Blam, you know. How much time do you spend with your Bible and prayer? Well, the young man never lost the direction home. When he got down in the hog pen, and the world will have you slopping their hogs, and the devil will laugh about it. Let me say this. If you wind up in the hog pen, if you do, don't decorate it. Come to yourself and get up and go to the Father's house. Don't decorate the hog pen. I've known people that got out of the will of God and spent years out of the will of God. And the longer you're out, the harder it is to get back in. And so this young man wound up in a mess. He was in the hog pen, ready to slop hogs and eat slop. Isn't that something? Boy, what a thing. Well, he was in the far country, that's where his heart was at, where he wanted to be. The Bible warns us to keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, I'll tell you, what you think about will determine what you turn into before it's over. And so, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Well, you'll find there are at least 13 famines in Scripture. The one in Amos chapter 8 is one of them, a famine of the words of God. But the Lord sent a famine. And yes, God is in control of the weather. He does use the weather to chastise people, correct them. In this case, to turn this young man back in the right direction. Don't let it take something like that for you. Man, the easiest thing to do is just get right. I learned a long time ago, man, when Mama was whipping me, I'd grab hold of her and hold on. I'd wrap my arms around her waist and hold on, boy. And that'd destroy the leverage. And she'd take that stick and she'd beat herself more than she did me, I think. Man, when it gets rough and the Lord's going to spank that bottom, man, get close to Him. I mean, it's a lot easier to take a whipping that way than it is to wind up in the hog pen. And so this young man was in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him to his fields to feed swine and would fain have filled his belly with a husk. The swine did eat, and no man gave him to him. Boy, isn't that something. Well, thankfully he came to himself. And he figured out it was a lot better at the Father's house. Isn't that something? You leave home and you think, boy, I'll be glad to get out of here. And then you find out later on that it wasn't so bad at home after all. I look back, man, we was poor, but man, we was happy. We didn't have much. I mean, living in an old shack. Mom had 10 kids, 5 boys, 5 girls. Dad got killed when I was 9 years old, man. Mom never had a public job, just had to raise a sack full of kids and... We was all pretty rowdy, I'll say that. But I look back and I think, man, we didn't have much, but we were just happy. We didn't have PlayStation 5s and all that junk. Man, we have to go out in the woods and climb trees and bend them over, skinning cats, and get a sawmill slat and a pine knot for a baseball, play baseball. I mean, just had to imagine stuff. And it was just fun, man. Played out all day long. People today don't do much like that anymore, I don't think. But if you walk according to the light of the Word of God, the Lord will not lead you the wrong way. And so this young man never lost the direction home. I want to say secondly, he didn't lose the desire to return home. Now you think about that. You get off in the far country and you stay there long enough, that desire might change. You may no longer have a desire for the things of God. King David, he said, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I believe that's true. If a day in thy courts is better than 1,000, then a day in a place like this, listening to somebody like Roloff or Ruckman or Delbert or whoever, is better than 20 Super Bowls. It's better than all the ball games we can drum up. I mean, really, people would rather skip church for the ball game. When I was growing up, it wasn't that way. Business is closed a half a day on Wednesday and wasn't open on Sunday. Respect for the church house. And people went to the church house. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong that we're open on those days. What I'm saying is our priorities have shifted. And we put more stock in the things of the world than we do the things of God. Well, I mean, look around, people. You schedule a ball game on Friday night, like, you know, a basketball tournament, and watch the crowd go down. I mean, it happens. I don't know about here. I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm just talking. If the phone rings, answer it. I heard one preacher say, if the shoe fits, put it on, wear it. And if it don't, pass it to the guy behind you. Maybe it'll fit him. But this young man didn't lose the desire to return home. He came to himself. Evidently, he was out of his mind. You know, righteous living includes alcohol, drugs, and all that. So obviously he wasn't sober. He wasn't making good decisions. But when the famine came and he didn't have anything, he done blew all of his money, and he was sitting in the hog pen ready to eat hog slop, he came to himself. He got a clear head. And he thought, you know, back home, it wasn't like this. Back home, what did he say? The very next verse, he said, he came to himself, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He realized it wasn't so bad at home after all. He learned fools make a mock at sin. He learned you reap what you sow. That's a hard lesson to learn. I've learned it. And I'll tell you, you're better off to take somebody's word for it from the Word of God than you are to go experience it and have to suffer the consequences. There are consequences to the decisions you make. And so he learned there were blessings in the Father's house. When you think about it, he had everything that he left home for at home. You can't always see it when it's right in front of you. And that was his case, evidently. Now I want to say thirdly, and I'm going to try to hurry. I don't want to be too long-winded. But he didn't lose his determination to get out of the hog pen. Like I said, if you've gone the wrong way and you're in a mess, don't just decorate the hog pen. And get out. Head back in the right direction to the Father's house. And I guarantee you, if you get up and start to the Father's house, I guarantee you he'll meet you halfway. He's longing for sinners to come home. I mean, you think, if God Almighty sent his only begotten Son to be tortured to death, bearing our sins in his body on the cross, he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. If he cares that much for us, don't you think he's interested in you? I mean, really. People get thinking, well, you know, what can I do? I can't do this, that, and something else, man. I mean, if the Creator sent his Son to die for you, then he must think highly of you and everybody else as far as that goes. I mean, it's an amazing thing. People get feeling sorry for themselves. But this young man evidently had character. Because he said, give me my head inheritance, I'm going to the far country. And he went. And he went over and lived like the devil. That's what he said he was going to do. He did. I mean, blew it all, lost it all. He said, I'm getting out of here. He did. He said, I'm going back home. He did. I mean, he had character. He did what he said he was going to do. I mean, you're a yea be yea, you're nay be nay. If you say yes, mean yes. I couldn't tell you how many times over the last 10 years I've asked people, why don't you come to church? I'll be there Sunday. And 10 years ago, still ain't saying no. Yea be yea, nay be nay. I mean, if you're going to say yes, mean yes. I mean, just, I think it's called being honest. And so this young man had character. He did what he said he was going to do. I think it was Job who said that our Maker gives songs in the night. And you may wind up in the hog pen, but I'll tell you, it don't have to end there. I've said many times, I'm staking it at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want to go home empty-handed. Man, when I hit the judgment seat of Christ, I know I'm going to be embarrassed and ashamed. I know Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Yeah, I understand that. But I ain't going home empty-handed. Man, I've won a few. I've preached to a lot. We'll see how it goes. Man, that's where it's at. That's where we're going. That's where it's going to wind up. We're going to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So he ain't going to be interested in me, what I think about y'all. It'll be you and him. And this young man, I mean, he came to himself and he figured out the situation could change. And it's God who can change your situation. If you'll trust Jesus Christ to save you, I promise you, he can change your situation. I tried religion, didn't do me no good. In fact, I was a church member when I got saved. And I had been dunked in the water. I wasn't saved. I mean, you know, it didn't, all I did was get wet. I didn't have any idea what it was all about until a fellow took a Bible and just showed me simply faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it worked. And so this young man never lost the determination to get out of the hog pen. I want to say fourthly, he never lost the dictates of his conscience. You're living in a society that I don't know if they have a conscience or not. Hey, down here in Texas, I think a young man, young colored man, took a knife and stabbed this white kid and killed him. And he's just no remorse. I mean, he's just trying to figure some way that he's not guilty. And I mean, it's amazing. The scripture says the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Boy, isn't that something? Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. They profess they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient to every good work, reprobate. Their conscience is gone. They have no conscience. They just do about anything, doesn't bother anybody. I hope you never lose the dictates of your conscience. If you're saved, the Spirit of God's in you, and He'll guide you through the Scriptures. He won't lead you the wrong way. And I'll tell you, it works. Well, this young man never lost the dictates of his conscience. He figured out everything he left home for was at home. Good meal, love, joy, clothes, I mean, shelter. Everything that he needed was at home that he left. Isn't that amazing? And that's exactly the way a lot of people are, a lot of young folks, I think. I can't wait to get away from home. Now, if you're raised in a Christian home, a good home, you'll find out that it ain't nearly as bad as you may think it is. We may not always do it all right, but I'll tell you, if we're trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and walk according to the Word of God, you'll come out a whole lot better. I mean, before my daddy died, he was just a drunkard, and man, we lived a rough life. We did. We lived a rough life. It'd been more than once where I've had to dive out of the bed in the middle of the night and run for my life through the woods while he shot at us. And that was just kind of an irregular occurrence. I thought everybody lived like that. You imagine that? But we're all different. Thank God the Lord's in the saving business, and He can change your situation. Well, if you ignore your conscience, it can be dangerous. I mean, a seared conscience? Can you imagine if you had no concern? I can't imagine just sticking a knife in a kid and killing him and then just walk off like, you know, oh, well, how do I get to be innocent here? I mean, you know, it was self-defense after all. I mean, I just can't imagine something like that. But let's move on. He didn't lose the devotion of the Father. Thank God that our Father never gives up on us. Man, I've done some really dumb stuff since the Lord saved me, but He ain't ever give up on me. I'm glad He's long-suffering and puts up with me. But the young man said, I'll arise, I'll go to my Father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And so he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and he ran. He had compassion, fell on his neck and kissed him. Boy, isn't that something? The father was waiting all along. I mean, he'd been preparing a fatted calf. You don't fatten a calf in a day or two. He knew what that young man was going to get into. And he was waiting on him to come home. Boy, isn't that something? Boy, hallelujah. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Here he come out of the hog pen. You imagine them old filthy rags smelling like pigs. He said, put the best robe on him. Boy, hallelujah. I mean, isn't that something? All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Boy, I'll tell you, when you get saved, he'll clothe you with the garments of salvation. And it works. Boy, you got to change your clothes. And notice, he said, put a ring on his finger. Showing that he was restored to his sonship. Shoes on his feet so he'd walk right. Boy, isn't that something? I didn't realize what a fool I was till I got saved. After the Lord saved me and I began to read this Bible, I thought, man, what an idiot I was. I mean, I wasted all of them years on the world and the garbage of the world, and I was just a big fool. Boy, when I got saved, I got plugged in, and I ain't ever got over it, and hope I never do. I hope I go home preaching. It'd be fine with me if I'm preaching out here in the street and just fly away. If the rapture don't happen, I just give up the ghost. Either way, I am absolutely thrilled that my Father loves me. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love Him because He first loved us. Boy, isn't that right? I mean, we're supposed to love Him above and beyond everything. Even our family, our wives, our children, everything. I mean, according to the Scripture. In fact, Jesus used the word hate. He didn't mean that you didn't like them. He meant that you'd put God up here above everything else. That's the way it's supposed to be. But the Father longed and looked for Him, waited for Him, prepared for Him. He was waiting on Him to come home. If you're here tonight, the Father's waiting on you. Now, I don't know your hearts, don't know anybody here, I mean, anything personally about you. I don't know if you need to get right with God or not. That's entirely between you and Him. But if you do, I mean, you know how to settle it. Don't lose sight of the Father's house. Don't ever lose the direction home. And so the Father never gave up on Him. His compassions fail not. And I want to say lastly, He never lost the delight of the reunion. What happened? Well, they killed the fatted calf. They began to make merry. And the Scripture says they began to be merry, but it doesn't say they ever quit. Now, what's going on in heaven? Well, we read in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In the presence of the angels. Now, who do you suppose is rejoicing? Now, you think about it. Up there in heaven, oh, somebody down here, you lead somebody to Christ. Up there in heaven, they announce, hey, another one just got saved. Boy, the rejoicing starts all over again. It just never stops. Isn't that something? Well, the Bible says we're to lay up treasure in heaven. If you're going to lay up treasure in heaven, and if souls is what's going to heaven, then you need to be a soul winner. You need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And that's all there is to it. There's the joy of fellowship restored. I mean, if you're walking contrary to God, you're going to be a little bit miserable. That's all there is to it. You're not going to enjoy life like you can when you're walking in fellowship with Him. With this young man, he wound up in the hog pen. What a way to go. But there's the joy of being clean in the Father's sight. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And you know, every day we're supposed to judge ourselves, confess our sins, and get it right with God. That's one of the seven judgments. The believer's daily self-judgment. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But if you don't, the Lord's going to judge you, and then He's going to chasten you. And the Apostle Paul said, for this cause, some are weak, some are sickly, and some even sleep. And some folks took an early exit because they wouldn't get right with God. My goodness, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Well, according to Psalm 90, the average lifespan is between 70 and 80 years old. And if you live beyond that, it's suffering and sorrow. I think in America, the last time I checked, the average lifespan in this country was about 76, I think. That's been some time back. I don't know what it might be different now. But that's somewhat halfway between that. But according to Ephesians chapter 6, if you honor your father and mother, you'll live longer. That's God's promise. That is the first commandment of the 10 with a promise. And the promise is you'll live longer. Now, isn't that something? You ought to honor your father and mother when they're alive, and you ought to honor their memory after they're gone. I mean, you ought to. I mean, the Bible says we should. I don't doubt it. Honor thy father and mother. You want to live longer? He tells you how. And you can die before your time. At Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he said, be not foolish, be not overmuch wicked. Why wilt thou die before thy time? Some folks check out early because of the way they live. Well, I was on that road, just like this son. I was in the far country, and I was on an early exit. I've got several good friends that I walk by their casket, and they never lived to be 40, any of them. And we were always together. And some of them, it was alcohol and drug poison. Some of them was gunshots. Some of them was car wrecks. Some of them I don't even know. But I was always with them. And if it wasn't for the mercy of God, I'd probably be in hell right now. Rather than preaching tonight, I'd be begging for a drop of water on my tongue to cool my tongue. Because I'd be tormented in those flames. It's a place of torment. Nothing good I can say about hell, except I ain't going there. And so this young man, there were several things that he didn't lose, even though he was lost. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want to ask you, do you know him tonight? Are you right with him? Are you walking with him? Are you serving him? I hope you are. And I hope, maybe, from my feeble efforts here tonight, you got something out of this that might encourage you to go on and do something for him. Because I promise you, you'll never be sorry. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Well, that's the truth. He has delivered me more than once, many times over. And boy, I am thankful. I'm glad my father never gave up on me. And he won't give up on you either. Will you bow your heads? Now I'm done. I've tried my best not to be long-winded. And I've tried not to be a smart aleck. I know I come off as one a lot of times. I don't mean to, but let me say, if you have a need and you know what it is, I don't. I'm not interested. You just need to talk to the Lord about it. And I will expect you'll do that. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to stand, and then we'll go from there. Father,